With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
So hello everybody and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm Ben here in the glorious, windy Mancunian Republic of Mancunia. Down the other end of the phone now, joining me, probably in the snow, I'm going to imagine, because it is quite hilly where James lives. It's James Hayes. Hello, James. How are they?
Don't start saying that word. Do not start saying that word.
Well, it's coming. It's coming. I saw it on the front of the Daily Express. So it's definitely coming. It's definitely coming. Right. So on this week's show, obviously later in the show, we're going to be discussing the FA Trophy and the third qualifying round. We've got Andrew Simpson, our friend from the Midchester Guardian, coming on for a full fixture preview when it comes to the FA Trophy this weekend. And of course, we're going to be hearing from Farsley, Mask, Stamford, South Shields and Stalybridge as well. It's all going to be happening later in the show. But we've got James on to discuss the bread and butter that is the league. And well, we had a plethora of results from Saturday afternoon. It was a good weekend for Scarborough. Scarborough beat Marine by 2-0. At the same time, the team currently in second position dropped 2 points, drawing 2-2 at Bamber Bridge. Very good result that for Bamber Bridge, but a good weekend there, James, for Scarborough.
Yes, not an easy game for him as well. Look, I read reports quite often, Marine did not make things any easier for him.
Well, this weekend, obviously, we have got some FA Trophy matches, but Scarborough Athletic will be hosting Gainsborough Trinity in the league. So, probably, James, I don't know about you, but it is a good time to bring back Ant Taylor to the show. We've not had him on for a good few weeks now. So let's hear now from Ant Taylor at Scarborough Athletic. Well, a big thank you for joining us, Ant. Welcome back to the show. It's always a pleasure to have you on. First things first, a good result at the weekend, bouncing back after the Farsley defeat with a great 2-0 win over Marine, maintaining that lead up at the top.
Yeah, it was a really tough game. Marine really give everything they wanted to. It wasn't an easy match at all, and it was frustrating at times, but yeah, at the end of it, you know, I think with us being on top of the league, it kind of shone through, and tiredness, obviously having a Saturday off, probably made us a little bit rusty as well just after the Farsley game. But, you know, we did it, and we achieved a landmark as well during that match, so it was a great game, all in all.
Now, obviously, this show this week, we're talking a lot about the FA Trophy. It's a double-edged sword. Obviously, you know, Scarborough would like to progress in that competition and that kind of thing. But the benefit is now that you can focus on the league. And this weekend, you've got this important match against Gainsborough Trinity. And you might as well get your popcorn ready as well, dear listener, because next weekend, Scarborough are travelling to Basford as well. So these games are vitally important now, I feel, even though we're this side of Christmas, for deciding what kind of season Scarborough are going to have, it feels.
Yeah, well, you look at Gainsborough Trinity, they've had a good couple of wins. They've had a few draws as well, one with Marine as well, not so long ago. But, you know, they beat Whitby, I think it was 4-1, and then they won Bamber Bridge, who's another tough team. So they're getting there, and you can see the quality. And when we played there not so long ago, I think it was only about 5 weeks ago we played them, and we drawn out a really tough 1-0 win with James Walshaw with the goal off the top of my head. But, you know, they're a tough side, and obviously when you look at Lacey, we've got, who's from Gainsborough Trinity, you know, he'll tell us how tough the team are, and that night they were, and obviously we've been watching them as well as Basford with their results coming in. These, you know, we're looking for, you know, because we've already played them, so, you know, a few points on to help us, you know, still stay at the top of the league.
What's the mood like with Steve Kitchick? We had him on a couple of weeks ago, very, very relaxed. It doesn't feel like he's currently managing a team who got a lot of teams behind them all waiting for a slip-up. He's been very calm and measured.
Yeah, he is. He's been calm all the way through, and he's rode you know, he's sat on the boat and he's rid the waves with it. And he's always been a guy that I'll my actions will be on the pitch, and that's what he's done. You know, we're top of the league. You know, Farsley and I know Nantwich, when they come to ours, we kind of slipped up. He has kind of kept it steady and he has kept a calm head. And obviously Mark Hume, the assistant manager as well, have done really well to keep a steady ship. And, you know, we're still plugging away at it.
And obviously as well, I mean, you are top of the league. You know, the mood at the club must be on a high. There's also plans as well for a bit of a stadium expansion. I mean, I caught up with you in the summer, and you know, my first visit to the Flamingoland Stadium. It's a fantastic facility. But you know, you're not treading water, are you? You are growing and expanding as a club.
You know, when we were at Bridlington, we weren't getting loads of fans and stuff like that because of the journey, but because obviously it's still pretty central. You know, you see people who don't actually live in Scarborough and that come down. We've got one guy who comes down now and again all the way from Aberdeen just to watch Scarborough games and that. So it's great to see the town they are getting behind them. And obviously with the football and the rugby, both our teams are top of their respective leagues as well. So sport in Scarborough is in a bit of a really good state of affairs at the moment.
And obviously you can keep track of Scarborough thanks to and the other teams, I should say, on the North Yorkshire coast, Whitby and Bridlington. And Yorkshire Coast Radio will be covering the match this weekend against Gainsborough as well as next week's against Batesford. How could people tune in, Ant?
The easiest way to do is just get on the internet, type in, www.yorkshirecoastradio.com/extra. When you get onto the bottom, there's going to be a couple of sections to check. Oh, obviously, click the Scarborough one for the Scarborough one. There is one for Whitby if you did want to see what they're up to. But, you know what I mean, always go Scarborough, that's the best one.
So, Ant Taylor there from Yorkshire Coast Radio and Scarborough Athletic, of course, joining us on this week's show. Scarborough Athletic against Gainsborough Trinity this weekend in the league. But back to the results from last Saturday. So, Scarborough Athletic and Nantwich picking up points at the weekend. What could third place Batesford do? Well, they had a big game at fifth place at the time, I think, Warrington Town, and it finished 1-1. They have been scoring for a laugh, Batesford United. So it was the best defence in the league in Warrington, taking on the best attack. So for Warrington to only concede one goal against Batesford and pick up a point, I'd suggest that's a good result.
Yeah, it is indeed. I mean, both sides needed it as well. But again, it's a good point for both sides.
For Warrington, Warrington Town this coming Saturday will be taking on Hyde United. Obviously, Batesford are in the FA Trophy. We had we spoke to Martin last week, didn't we? I think.
Yeah,
we did. We did speak to Martin last week. I don't want to miss anyone out, you see. We did speak to Martin last week when it comes to Batesford United in the FA Trophy. Probably good that they haven't got a league game, actually, Batesford, because like they have. It'd be good to see the playoff pitch and the promotion race when everyone's played the same amount of games, because it's all very fluid at the moment, isn't it, with regards to games played and that kind of thing. So while Batesford and Warrington were drawing, what could the team in fourth position, Farnsley Celtic, do? Well, they got a win at the weekend, and a big win as well, beating Northferriby United by 6-0. Well, Adam Laitland, manager at Farnsley Celtic, joins us now. Before we get to the FA Trophy, Adam, just a mention for that result at the weekend. A great result there, 6-0. Not bad at all. And the great run in the league continues.
Yeah, it was turned out to be quite a comfortable and convincing win in the end. We were obviously quite mindful going into the game that, you know, we're then bottom of the league. Sometimes, you know, teams and players can take the foot off the gas and underestimate the opposition and come away with a result that you don't want. So we obviously wanted to go into it, be nice and professional and just get the job done. And first off, we didn't really play brilliantly, but managed to get our noses in front. They had a man sent off. The game was a little bit stop-start, a bit bitty. But in the second half, we played much better. We passed the ball a lot better and we were pretty ruthless in the end and, you know, run away convincing winners in the end. It was a big 3 points for us because we were obviously mindful that with our involvement in the trophy this weekend, it was going to be 2 weeks without a league game. So we really wanted to get maximum points and thankfully we managed to do that to, as you say, keep our good run going.
And you mentioned there that you know you've not got a game this weekend in the league, and it's something we've been discussing on the show. Just the fact that at the moment, if you go down to Matlock in eighth position, everyone's tussling to and throwing, but there's varying degrees of games played, and Farsley, if you win all your games in hand, you actually go top. So how are you juggling that side of it, or is it just a case of keep winning, and then when we get to February, then we'll look at the table.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a case of, I think anybody will tell you, really. I mean, up till Christmas and the beginning of January, you've just got to get as many points on the board as quickly as you can, and then, you know, kind of see what position you're in at that point, and then set your kind of targets from there, which is what we'll do. Obviously, delighted with the start that we've made. It's been well broadcast that we have had quite a difficult run of fixtures. Thinking, in our first 16 league games, we've played the top 11 already, which is, you know, to say the number of points that we've actually managed to accumulate is testament to the efforts of the players. But we're well aware that it's just a good start. You know, there's a lot of hard work to go. There's a lot of good teams in this division. There's a lot of difficult games for us over the next couple of months. And, you know, we'll go into it, each and every one of them, looking to get a positive result. But we're certainly not taking our good start for granted. We know that there's an awful lot of work to do, but it is frustrating when you do have games, you know, behind. We've just been asked to play on the 29th of December, which, you know, I think there's quite a few clubs that have been in that boat, which, you know, at the beginning of the season, if there's a fixture put in on that date, it's not an issue, because we're all used to playing 3-4 games within 10-11 days over the Christmas period. But for there to be no fixture put in at the beginning of the season, you know, as you've got to appreciate, these lads are, you know, the part-time footballers, and they've got families and they've got work, and you know, some of them may have made arrangements to spend time with family and loved ones over that weekend when they actually do get a rest for once. So I think that the league are going to have a challenge getting games played on that particular day, but we're not on our own in that. We'll just have to deal with whatever is thrown at us head on and get on with it, you know.
And it's not even snowed yet as well, Adam. I'm not gonna throw that grenade at you, don't worry.
Not yet.
But you can park the league to one side this weekend. Obviously it's Alfreton in the FA Trophy. Obviously you had to do it the hard way with Calted Town. They've had a great season in Division East and held you to a 0-0 draw, but then a professional display in the replay. And like you say, you are coming into this game in good form, especially goal-scoring form. What are you expecting from Alfreton this weekend?
Well, it's going to be a very difficult game. They've obviously got, you know, a very good squad, some very good individuals. Collectively, they've probably not had the consistency that the manager would have wanted, but they've obviously got a very experienced manager who's had a lot of success in that division. And, you know, we know that it's going to be a very difficult game, but it's one where we'll go into with, you know, loads of confidence, trying to cause an upset. We'll go in as very much the underdogs, and hopefully we can just go down there and make a good account of ourselves, be competitive, and you know, if we manage to do those things, then I believe we've got a chance of getting a positive result, which is what, you know, everybody around the club would want. But you know, if our journey in the FA Trophy comes to an end this weekend, then it's no real big issue. It's another competition that we're out of, and you know, we can turn our attentions primarily back to the league, which is our bread and butter and our main target this season. But you know, we'll go and enjoy the game on Saturday, and hopefully we can come away with a good result.
Adam Laitland, manager at Fars Celtic, a big thank you for taking time at your busy day to come on the show, and on behalf of everyone on the show, a big good luck this weekend in the FA Trophy. And I'll speak to you in the next round, no problem at all, my friend.
Thanks, Ben.
North Ferriby are now 10 points from safety, and that's assuming they could claw back the goal difference. In reality, it's 11 points, and they played four games more than Workington, three games more than Marine, and two games more than Michelover Sports, and they played five games more than Witton Albion, who were also outside the playoff positions. North Ferriby, it's looking a bit bleak at the moment.
North Ferriby, they've started to make a couple of moves on the transfer market in the last couple of days. I mean, I've been looking at just like loan signings just to get people in, one or two signings from Bridlington. But again, we've seen it in the past. One or two teams have come out of position, so it's not all off just yet.
Well, we saw it, didn't we, with Sutton Coldfield? They were dead and buried for a long time. And admittedly, they did get relegated in the end, but they nearly got out of it. And it was they were dead and buried, weren't they? But by Christmas, everyone was writing them off. And then all of a sudden, they clawed back a 10-point deficit, I think it was at the time.
Yeah, it came to the second-to-last game
exactly,
of the season.
Exactly. They took it right to the wire, not far off anyway. So not all lost, that's for sure. But when it comes to back to the promotion race and the playoff positions, so far as the Celtic have moved into third position, they're currently 7 points behind League Leader Scarborough. But as we've said in previous shows, Fars Celtic have got 3 games in hand. Well and truly in the promotion hunt are the team from West Yorkshire. Gainsborough Trinity, we touched upon their match this weekend when they take on Scarborough. Heading into that game, they're in great form. They beat Whitby Town by 4-1. And they followed that up on Tuesday night by beating Bamber Bridge away by 2-1. So Gainsborough have got the bit between the teeth all of a sudden, James. After losing to South Shields and Scarborough, they're starting to find a bit of momentum now, Gainsborough, by the look of it.
Yeah, so again, just finding that little bit of stability where they, again, themselves were dropping what score points against teams lower down the table. Two fantastic wins there. And again, the result against Bamber Bridge was something that they needed, just so their next few fixtures will count towards what can do, especially this Saturday coming.
We're also going to try and catch up with Lee Picton as well at South Shields. South Shields at the weekend beat Micklover Sports by 3-2. So what we've got now, and I'll come to Matlock because they're a story in themselves, is that the top seven there, all 30-plus points now with varying games played. South Shields and Warrington have played 16 games. Gainsborough Trinity have played 17 games. And then you've got Fars Celtic, obviously they're on 33 points. They played 16 games. Basford United, they played 18 games. And then you've got the two leaders up at the top, Scarborough Athletic and Nantwich Town, who played 19 each. So it's looking really exciting, James, isn't it? When it comes to the promotion race, everyone's jockeying now.
And the main factor is as well, because we're actually ahead in the fixtures at this moment in time. But obviously, weather not being the same as it has been last year, those massive favours.
It's going to be snowing, everyone. Just
to say. Right, okay.
He's stroking his face now, going, everything will be all right. Everything will be fine. We're all right.
I will say Angie Firth on you. But anyway, yeah, for once, we're ahead on the fixtures in all, not just Division Foster 3 itself. So even if we do have a couple of weeks where it does start snowing or the weather does get bad, we're not going to be in a similar situation over the last couple of years where we've had 4 or 5 games back-to-back in December, February, March. So teams are going to be more well-rested. And we've seen it in the goals as well, because I think there's only about 6 teams that aren't past the 20 goals mark this season so far. It's shown the quality in this league, and attendances are up massively in all our clubs as well this year, not just because you've got, obviously,
this podcast. Well, just say it how it is, James. It's this podcast.
It's this podcast. Definitely.
Right, you're more than welcome, everyone. Right, so let's hear now from one of the joint managers at South Shields, heading into the FA Trophy this weekend. And as we've just discussed there, very much involved in the promotion race. And on Thursday, I caught up with one of the joint managers. Here's Lee Picton. So, Lee, a big thank you and welcome back to the show. We'll get to the FA Trophy in a second or two, but a good result there against Micklover Sports at the weekend, and that follows on now a good set of results in the league, 3 straight wins in the league. So all heading in the right direction at South Shields.
Yeah, obviously, you know, we're delighted to win the last 6, 3 cup and 3 league games, and it. It was a much needed run of results after that dip in form and results we had a few weeks back. But fair play to Micklover Sports. They came up to Mariners Park last Saturday and gave it a real good go and played some really good football themselves. So it was a good game to watch, as the scoreline suggests. And hopefully, the result just further cements our momentum and confidence moving into the trophy weekend on Saturday.
Now we heard from Adam Laitland earlier, and obviously Farsley are involved in the promotion race as well as yourselves. But yeah. It's a double edged sword, very much the FA Trophy, isn't it? Because you haven't got a league game this weekend. Scarborough are in action against another playoff promotion contender in Gainsborough Trinity. So it's kind of the same question I asked Adam. Do you even look at the league table at this stage with all the various games played and that kind of thing, or is it just let's just keep the form going?
Yeah, I think you inevitably do have a look at the league table, you know, especially after, you know, the point in the season that we're at now, we're up like kind of 16, 17, 18 games at the season. And, you know, you end up doing a few mathematical sums in your head about, you know, upcoming games and how many points you might need and things like that. But, yeah, but then you've got to balance that up with not looking too far ahead in the future and age-old cliche of one game at a time. So we're just fully focused on Saturday. We know it's going to be a really tough test down at Stratford. And, yeah, again, we believe if we get things right on the day that we can be a match for just about any non-league side out there. And if we get our levels right on Saturday, we're looking to hopefully get the tie done in one.
And this is what it's about, isn't it? I mean, the top end of the NPL this season, there's so much jostling for position going on at the moment. I know you're taking one game at a time, but next Saturday there's that match against Matlock Town as well, and they've come out of nowhere and have themselves well and truly in the picture. But let's talk about the FA Trophy. A very good result against Hyde, setting up this match against Stratford. Where can South Shields go in the FA Trophy? Because we've seen teams at this level go all the way to Wembley before. Four, obviously no strangers to of cup runs and that kind of thing at South Shields. I mean, how are you treating the FA Trophy this season?
We're with a lot of value, really. I think we're massively disappointed still as to, you know, the way we exited the FA Cup, and I think, you know, a real good cup run can bring so much to a club in terms of, you know, not just the revenue but the kind of, you know, all the other things that go with it, the recognition, and you know, you hopefully get some really good ties in there against clubs that are further up the pyramid than yourself. And, you know, we would love to have that challenge this season again. So, yes, of course, the league's our number one priority, but we're definitely placing a lot of importance on the FA Trophy as well.
And how much preparation have you done for Stratford Town, mid-table in the Central League? What are you expecting from them tomorrow?
Yeah, well, obviously, it's, you know, they're a good side. We know we've done a bit of homework on them. We know they've got some real qualities, and you know, I think an indication of how seriously we're taking is, you know, we're going to go down this afternoon and stay overnight for the game tomorrow. We just feel like, you know, we kind of learned a lesson from last season. We got knocked out in the trophy against Stafford, which is a real long journey for us as well. Last season, we went down on the day and we felt that was, you know, it would be to give ourselves the best possible chance tomorrow. We'll get in a hotel tonight and do things right, so to speak. So, you know, I think that gives an indication as to how seriously we're taking the game tomorrow.
Well, Lee Picton, first thing I have to say as I close this interview, a big thank you. A lot of people might have noticed that your voice changed from a mobile phone voice to a very crisp Skype call voice. That's because we had a load of technical difficulties. So a big, big thank you for all your patience.
No problem whatsoever.
Coming on the show. Best of luck tomorrow. Safe journey down there tonight. And
thanks, Ben.
I'll speak to you in the next round. No problem at all, my friend.
Take care. Thanks very much.
Lee Picton there, manager at South Shields, joining us here on the EvoStick NPL show. So, more on the FA Trophy later when we've got Andrew Simpson on for a fixture preview, when we'll be going through all those matches this weekend in the third qualifying round of the FA Trophy. But James Hayes is with us still, and I mentioned the Matlock story. Well, the Matlock Town train keeps on rolling, James. They beat Stalybridge Celtic by 3-1 on Saturday. And I've run out of things to talk about with regards to Matlock. It's just brilliant stuff what's going on there at Causeway Lane.
Yeah, well, they're completely unbeaten in November. Every game they've won this month. They don't play on Saturday because of the FA Trophy again. Freckleton's done what he's gone in to do. Again,
I'm not writing them off. Definitely not. I think you're right. I was wrong a couple of weeks ago. I hold my hands up. Right. Anyway, yes. So it's brilliant stuff. What's been going on at Matlock, and once again, another 3 points at Causeway Lane at the weekend. 3-1 over Stalybridge Celtic, who've now dropped down to ninth position. also dropping down the table, much to the glee, I'd imagine, of some Matlock Town fans, is Buxton. And obviously we'll be hearing from Andrew Simpson, who was at Silverlands on Saturday. But a big result this one. Buxton 0, Witton Albion 5. Buxton dropped down to 10th. Hensford Town beaten 2-0 by Hyde United at the weekend. Hyde United moving up into 12th position. I think we discussed this last week when we had Andrew Snaith on, just about that middle pack there and all the teams who are quite capable. In fact, I think I said this to Rob Smith, that the people, the teams in that middle pack there, Whitby Town, Hyde United, Hensford Town, Buxton, Stalybridge, all very, very capable teams of putting a run together. One of those teams who've moved this past week is Grantham Town. How important is this result? Workington 1, Grantham Town 4. That's halting a slide that Grantham were on, where they'd been beaten 7 games on the trot when it comes to league results, travelling to Workington and beating them by 4-1. That's a great result, that, for Grantham Town.
Grantham, going away in style, they've finally got a couple of goals under the belt. That was their main problem in the last couple of weeks. I'm only saying this now because, again, just realised it's Stamford Barwell on Saturday. We've got teams looking at a new Barwell position in the league, potentially in that mid-table spot. You're right, Jimmy. I know you're listening, so I've fun this Saturday.
Does he still listen?
He probably does.
Jimmy, if you're still listening, get in touch. Let us know. Let us know you're all right. Anyway,
crucial result that for Grantham again, just to turn the fortune from John. Again, just get goals at the back of the net. That sometimes is a huge wonders for teams, and we could see that now.
I can't believe it. I think we're at the last result of the weekend. That's flown by. How do we jazz this up? Lancaster City 0, Stafford Rangers 0. Solid, I'm going to suggest. We obviously had Matt Fell on last week, and obviously Lancaster have got a very big FA Trophy match. More on that in a second. For Stafford Rangers, that too is it's kind of a positive result, that, because that's back-to-back draws against an informed Lancaster side. And before that, a solid Gainsborough Trinity side. So better form from Stafford Rangers after a shaky October and November. And that's it for league results from this past week. There were some Integro League Cup matches, second round ties, which took place on Tuesday evening. And we'll go through those results now. Belpatown beat Mansfield by 2-1. Drawsden beat Glossop North End at Surrey Street by 4-2 in that local derby there. So Drawsden progress. Also progressing is Runcorn Linnets. They beat Leake Town by 4-1. Whilst Buxton bounced back from Saturday's defeat by beating Michelover Sports by 3-0. And a bit of a Derbyshire derby there. And also, when it comes to cup matches, there was an FA Trophy second qualifying round replay, which took place on Tuesday. And a big, big congratulations to Ramsbottom United, who beat Yaxley by 5-1, with Nick Evangelinos scoring a hat-trick. And apologies if I've got your name wrong, Nick, but congratulations to Ramsbottom United, 5-1 winners. And they go through, where they take on Pickering. Am I right in that?
Yeah.
Good. Excellent. And more on that in a second, but with Andrew Simpson. But James Hayes, a big thank you for joining us once again from MPL Towers. You have a lovely weekend in the snow. And we'll speak to you next week.
No, it's been, thank you very much.
So, a big thank you there to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show. Just before we leave the league for this week's show, just a mention for this Saturday's matches: Buxton against Bamber, Grantham Town against North Derby United, Hensford against Michelover Sports, Nantwich Town against Marine, Stafford Rangers against Whitby Town, Warrington Town against Hyde, that's a big game, and Scarborough Athletic against Gainsborough Trinity. And we heard from Matt Taylor earlier, boom, bang, a bang, written all over that one. But not to shun 14 teams to one side so flippantly, but that's exactly what I'm going to do. Done the league. We're now joined by the Mid-Cheshire Guardians' very own Andrew Simpson to talk about this weekend's third qualifying round ties in the FA Trophy. Hello, Simo, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
I'm all good. So we've already heard from Adam Lakeland and Lee Picton with regards to South Shields and Fazer Celtic and their ties. But before we get to the other matches in the third qualifying round, just want to get your perspective on Witton Albion's tie away at Leamington and how you think they're going to do in that one.
Well, I feel a lot more optimistic about this one than I did when we did the kind of preview to when they were playing Solihull in the FA Cup, which it did in the end prove to be a game too far. But I think Solihull have gone on and proved since what a good side they are. They're still in the FA Cup and still flying in the National League. I think Witten also going to this one this time with genuine form behind them. It's been a real up and down season. We've touched on this a few times in the show, but they've pieced together a couple of really good performances in the past couple of weeks. One of them against AFC Rushden and Diamonds, which got them to this stage. And then last weekend, they absolutely annihilated Buxton at Silverlands, running out 5-0 winners. And in the end, they took Mercy. It could have been more. So they head down to Leamington, full of confidence off the back of that performance. Again, to revisit a couple of themes that we've talked about this season, they have obviously, in the FA Cup this season, reached the fourth qualifying round, and they did beat two National League North teams to get there, Spennymoor and FC United. Two very different performances to do that. I think what does give them optimism going down here is that most of their best cup results under Carl McCauley have been at Winchin Park. They have been able to really raise their game and cause surprises, spring upsets at Winchin Park. But that win against FC United, setting aside all of the shenanigans and circus antics, was psychologically really important for them because it was winning a game like that away from home, which is something they hadn't done before. So they go to Leamington knowing that they can do that. Look, it's still going to be a difficult game. Leamington have found a little bit of form. They won three games in a row and had a good win against Alfreton in midweek as well. But their home form generally in the league is a little bit dodgy. Before they beat Chester last week, they'd not won any of the previous six at home. So there's a little bit of vulnerability there. And so Witten definitely go with optimism. I mean, if they can get it to a replay, they'll really fancy going through. But I think it's going to be quite close, this one. And I think they've got a decent chance of getting through.
We'll give that one last plug before you go for the coverage that you're providing tomorrow, Simo. But let's talk about some of the other matches. And I should say, we are going to be hearing from Mark Phillip at the Teamside Reporter talk about Staleybridge Celtic's match against Workington shortly, as well as Carl Jarrett, manager at Mask United, because they've got a big game as well. But let's talk about the two matches we've already covered on the show as well. Alfreton Town against Farsley Celtic. Farsley Celtic had to do it the hard way against Carlton Town, but they did it in the end, and they did it with aplomb, I think is the right term. And then they've not stopped scoring since. So this is going to be very interesting.
I think it's going to be really interesting. I think you can very quickly, as I did when I was writing my notes for this, persuade yourself that Farsley are going to win this game. And they go to Alfreton in really good form, unbeaten in seven league games, have climbed into the playoff places now. They've won five of those seven games as well. They're in good form away from home, three wins from the last four games. They kind of went the long way around to knock out Carlton, but got the job done really impressively in the end. And they'll find an Alfreton team that's struggling a little bit. They've only won one of the last nine games, and that was against Nuneaton, who are in obviously a whole world of trouble at the moment. And they lost 2-1 home to Leamington, who we mentioned a moment ago in midweek. So far as he can go there with real confidence, I think. There's also a little bit of a historical precedent that they can be encouraged by, in that Alfreton were beaten at this stage of the competition last season by none other than Altrincham, who were flying high in the Northern Premier League at the time. So it can be done. I think Farsley have got a great chance.
And obviously as well, South Shields are also travelling to the Midlands this weekend to take on Stratford Town. And I say travelling down this weekend, they're going the night before. And that does alter the dynamic, I think. It's a very wise thing to have done if you can afford it. What South Shields are doing here.
Yeah, definitely. And it also shows how seriously they're taking the FA Trophy, which, you know, we read a lot often, certainly when the FA Trophy kind of progresses, about how teams in the National League don't take it seriously. And maybe it's an opportunity for teams in National League North and Northern Premier League to do well in it. Well, what a statement that is from South Shields. They're showing that they're really serious about making progress. Actually, there's a big carrot for both teams, because neither of them have played in the first round proper before. So they're both trying to make a little bit of history this weekend. What are South Shields going to find when they get there? Stratford are in not bad form, actually. They were unbeaten in six games before. They did lose 2-1 against Needham Market last weekend, but they're in quite a good nick at home, won the past three. So they'll be feeling pretty good. South Shields have picked up away from home. We talked to death about their struggles on the road, but they did have that really good win at Whitby a couple of weeks ago. They've won three games in a row in the Northern Premier League, so they have found a little bit of form again as well. I think they're slight favourites, but I think it'll be a decent tie, that one.
Let's have our first interview then for this section of the show. I think, result of the round, this is up for debate, but I'm right, was Stamford's win against Kettering. I think we're all safe for saying that.
Brilliant.
Stamford this weekend will be hosting Barwell, and on Wednesday evening, I caught up with the manager at Stamford. Here's Graham Drury. So, Graham, a big thank you for joining us once again. Before we get to this biggie this weekend against Barwell, let's talk about the last round. I described it last week as the result of the round. I think I'm safe in saying that. What was it like heading it all?
Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, I mean, we had no right to win the game, really, with the quality of Kettering. You know, we stuck to a game plan. I mean, I did say in the papers that we played a bit of a Mike Bassett formation. We played a 3-6-1. You know, and everybody looked at me a bit gone out, but we felt we needed to box the midfield and stop them playing through us. And we went, you know, nice and tight and with a sweeper at the back, and then really boxed that midfield and played six midfielders in there just with a lone striker. And to be fair, all credit to the lads, you know, we went on the training ground, we practiced it, we knew where we wanted to press, where to lock on, you know, where to really go and squeeze them. And, you know, the lads took it on board and did a fantastic job for me.
I mean, what you've done there as well, I mean, you talk about the formation, that kind of thing, but like you say, a lot of prep's gone into that. And we've got to remember Kettering going into this game, I think they've only lost one league game all season, and I think they've only drawn one as well, so they've not dropped many points. So the level of homework and research that must have gone into to setting yourselves up that way and on all the prep, talk us through the preparations for the game and how much homework you did, because it's no fluke, is it?
No. I mean, to be fair, mate, I put a lot of hours into it. And at the minute, as I'm talking to you, I'm sat in the snug room, as you call it, with a tactical board out and working a few things out for Barwell. But, you know, we had them watched. We knew a lot about them. Obviously, the quality, what they've got in their camp, you know, they could have picked any of the squad they've got and it would have been strong. Well, I believed in the way they would have gone. It's obviously Aaron O'Connor was poorly, he didn't play, but the rest of them, it was a very good outfit. And, you know, we really had to work really, really hard to make sure we got it right. And we went on the training ground. We did a classroom session on the Tuesday, and I told them how that they would play and where their strengths and weaknesses were, where I felt we could affect them. And then Thursday, obviously, we went onto the training ground and put it into practice, got on the pitch, and really boxed areas off. And I was really pleased because the run and the two midfielders that played advance of the other four, you know, they set the goal up and the other one scored it. So we moved into them areas and it paid off for us. And, you know, the preparation, obviously you put your time and your effort in. But again, I'll say it again, the boys have got to, you know, take that on board. They've got to understand instructions. They've got to go and relay that onto the football pitch when they're playing against opposition and not, you know, shadow play. And they did it absolutely perfect. And I was proud of every one of them, to be fair.
So, Barwell on Saturday, our old friend Jimmy Ginelli taking on an NPL side once again. We've known Barwell as a very effective side. Many would say punching above their weight year on year. Very well drilled side. I mean, what are you, without giving too much away, what are you expecting from them on Saturday?
Well, first and foremost, you know, Jimmy identified I had some good players in the football club and he signed two from me this year. You know, Elliot Putman and Rob Morgan, you know, those big losses for us and they've been hard to replace. You know, there were two fantastic footballers for me last year. You know, two great characters, two great lads. And, you know, it was a pleasure to work with. So they're going to return to the Zico very quickly. And it's funny how the draw works and it happens. But, you know, with Jim, you know, I've known him a long time and we've had a few dealings over the years and a few battles against each other. And he won't underestimate us. You know, the one thing Jim knows is, you know, we can pull results out and we proved that with Kettering. And we've been in some big games and we've pulled some big results out. And he'll know, I'd have studied him and he knows I had three people watch him on Saturday when they played Kings Lynn. He'll know that I had two sent to watch him at Hell's Owen in the week. So he knows I'd have done my homework. He knows I'd have done my prep on them. But they're a very structured side. They have a certain way of playing. They've got good, obviously good players again. You know, Brady Hickey is an handful. He's hard to pick up. You know, they've got good players all over the pitch. But there is flaws there. There is weaknesses. You know, we're going to try and go on that training ground tonight and you know, work where we feel we can affect. And obviously, we know where we've got to, you know, press and close down. So, again, preparation is started at the beginning of the week after the bad result we had at Telly. You know, we got straight on the horse again and got on with doing the preparation for this game.
And finally then, Graham, obviously the last game against Kettering, great attendance at the Zico. It's another home occasion. It's already been a great trophy run for the club. What's your message for the home support on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm sure they looked at the results Saturday and was quite frustrated after the performance against Kettering, and I wasn't surprised at it because, you know, we've been very inconsistent this year. We don't seem to have got a settled side. We had a bug in the camp last week, and there's no excuse from me. It was 11v11, you know, and we had a good 11 on the pitch. So the fans were looking, thinking, you know, why can't we replicate the performances, you know, week in, week out? But we've had a little bit of swap and change, and hopefully we've got everybody, well, nearly everybody fighting fit for Saturday. I don't want to get too much away. You know, I hope they come out again. I hope they get behind us. We have had a nice little run. We've had three tough games, two replays, you know, going away to Belper and going away to Leeks, you know, no easy places to go. We've come through them. Obviously, the game against Kettering was really, really tough. We've come through that, and we've not conceded a goal in the tournament so far, you know, which is really, really pleasing. And if we can do that again Saturday, we're not going to be in the hat again on Monday. But hopefully we can sneak a goal and get another 1-0 win, and that'll do me fine.
Graham Drury there, manager at Stamford, and Stamford, impeccable preparation going into that Kettering match, did a lot of homework, and they've done the same for Barwell, and we talked about the preparations that Lee Picton and Graham Fenton have done for their match for South Shields against Stratford, but Stamford, yeah, fancy a trophy run as well, it feels like.
Yeah, and you're quite right to reinforce what a good win that was, because Kettering are absolutely flying, big favourites to win the Southern League Premier Central title after the start that they've had. Not an easy team to knock out at all. Although it came a little bit from nowhere, because Stamford's overall form in the Northern Premier League is quite disappointing. They found themselves in the middle of the East Division. They've only won one of the past six games and have lost four of those. So in some ways that makes it an even better result against Kettering, because it kind of defied how they were doing generally. They've had some good wins though in the FA Trophy already. They've beaten Leek and Belper before they knocked out Kettering. So they've had a really good run in the competition already. They come up against a Barwell side that obviously we know, certainly in part from their time in the Northern Premier League. They're 11th in the Southern League Premier Central, which is round about where they used to be in the Northern Premier League often, to be honest. One thing of note, though, is they've been really, really good away from home this season, which is probably bad news for Stamford. They've only lost one of their seven away games, and also progressed in the previous two rounds by beating St Neots and Colville away from home. So they won't be daunted at all about an away game. Maybe that gives them the edge because they're in good form as well, but we can't rule out Stamford after what they did in the last round.
And let's talk about another team from Division East, Marsh United, travelling to Blyth Spartans. And this one's very, very intriguing, isn't it? We'll get your thoughts in a second, Simo. But on Friday afternoon, I caught up with the manager at Marsh United. Here's Carl Jarrett. So, Carl, a big thank you for joining us. Before we get to tomorrow's biggie against Blyth, just a big congratulations for the last round. I mean, a great result that against Tamworth. You must have been dead proud.
I was, because we didn't really know a lot about them. I had them watched once by Middlesbrough Football Club Agreed. One of the scouts had gone down and watched it for us, so I was grateful on that. We got good feedback off that. It was just obviously, we were a bit wary of them. They were once a conference team a couple of seasons ago, and with us being a Northern League team, there was a hell of a step between us, you know, like four levels. Obviously, with us getting promoted and them getting relegated, and that's when we started doing our homework, and a couple of weeks before the game, found out, you know, what they were good at and what they weren't. So a lot went into that game, and, you know, overall, in the full 90 minutes, we did deserve it. So they were a good team. They were very strong. You can see why they're playing at the level they are. It just was started so brightly in the game. I think we scored within 20 seconds, and it set the tone of the full game for us. And they had a good spell in the second half. And obviously, I brought new signing James Fairley on, and he scored to, you know, relax us at the end in the last 10 minutes.
And obviously as well, I mean, we spoke before that game, and we already spoke about the step up that Manchester United have done this season, and how well things were going in the league and that kind of thing as well. But it does set up a very, very interesting and intriguing match tomorrow against Blyth Spartans. Now, for me, living here in Lancashire, Blyth Spartans to me, just the gap between Blyth Spartans and Mask to me just seems just round the corner, but it is still quite a fair trek, but you must know a bit more about Blyth than you did about Tamworth.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, we know quite a lot of the players that are there. I've went and watched them on Tuesday night to help that they got a game. Well, it helped us that they got a game put in on Tuesday night against Stockport. So me and my assistant, Nicky Ward, we went through and we just put our eyes on them just to get some good ideas of what they were about. We'd already had them watched on the Saturday against where they come back after being 2-0 down, which was a great comeback by them. And watching the highlights, they played really well in that game. They're no mugs. They're a very, very good team. 11 well-drilled, well-organised. They've got some dangerous players individually as well. But it's something, of, obviously, going back to the Tamworth game, of the steps and the levels above us, we're not really afraid of that. I mean, Weymouth's probably the lowest-ranked team, apart from Pickering and Stamford in the same league as us, left in the competition. So we've got nothing to fear, really, going to Blyth Spartans at the present minute. They've had two good wins of late against Stockport and Coos, and of course on the Saturday before. So they're in fine form for themselves. I pick themselves up with confidence. But we've had just come off the belt of 15 games, you know. So it's going to be a hard game to call. You know, we're going to have to turn up. We're going to have to play our best. We're in no illusions that we're going to go there and batter them. But what we're going to do is we're not going to give up. We're going to give them a very, very good game.
And finally then, obviously, you know, like we said about the Tamworth game, this is what being promoted to Step 4 is all about. The fact that you get these big clubs who you know, were National League North sides. In Blyth Spartans, you've got a National League North side you're taking on. This is what it's all about, isn't it, really?
Well, it is. It is. Any manager and any players will tell you, you want to be playing as high as you can and possibly, you know, right to and play the top teams in any level. So, you know, for us, this is something that we're really excited about. We can't wait to be playing them. A lot of people you speak to are like, oh, you've got Blyth Spartans. I'd rather be playing them. That's no disrespect to anyone else, but like the Teesside League and Langborough League in all these cups, you know, I would rather be playing at the top of the tree. And to be fair, that's where Blyth are. So it's something for us to go out and see if we can have an upset on Saturday.
Carl Jarrett there, manager at Mass United. Simo's still with us. Simo, this is a big game, isn't it? I mean, this can't be understated.
Yeah, it's a huge game. What an opportunity for Mass to make a real statement, to kind of poke one of the bigger brothers around that neck of the woods in the eye by potentially knocking them out of the FA Trophy. They probably would have quite liked to have played this game maybe a couple of weeks ago, because Blyth have picked up. I know you saw them against FC United, and it was a great day for you guys, but Blyth have found a little bit of form in generally either side of that FC United game. They had a really good win, didn't they, against Stockport in midweek. They had a really good win last weekend coming from behind to beat Curzon Ashton. So they have found, just in the nick of time for this game, a little bit of form. And it took Bromley to knock Blyth out the FA Trophy last season. Obviously, went all the way to Wembley in the end and finished as runners-up. So Blyth will be keen to kind of have another good run. Mask, they've been in quite good form as well, as we know. We've touched on it in the monthly show, and I know you have in the East and West Division show. They were unbeaten in six league games before losing at Lincoln last weekend, but that's hopefully just a blip. This, of course, is after being promoted from the Northern League, their debut in the FA Trophy. So what a fine run they've had already. It'd be great for them to cap that by reaching the first round. Good wins already against Atherton, Collieries, Cleethorpes and Tamworth. So they've got some momentum behind them in the trophy. It's just set up to be a really great day up there, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And if I was local, I would definitely head down to Croft Park for that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the managers we've already spoke to on last week's show. Some very big games here. Lancaster City against Geisler. Obviously, a few months at the start of the season, you would have said Geisler were nailed on to win this. Not so much now with Mark Fell's Lancaster.
Yeah, they've done well, haven't they? I feel a little bit sorry for Lancaster because of the heroics of Dave Frecklington at Matlock. They maybe haven't got as much of praise as they probably deserve for the way in which they've kind of started to turn around their season. Okay, it's not been as spectacular in terms of the climb up the table, but I had a little look last night when I was thinking about this game. They have picked up 14 points with Mark Fell in charge, and he was only appointed in the first week of October. So they've had a really good 6 to 8 weeks since he got that. And I thought his interview was fascinating last week. He made a really, really good point about, do Geisley have one eye on being on the telly next week against Fleetwood in the FA Cup? It will be fascinating to see how Geisley approach the game tomorrow. And I think he was dead right to pick up on that. They're not in great form, actually. They've not won any of the past five league games. And that FA Cup win against Cambridge was kind of a big highlight in what's not been a great few weeks for them. So Lancaster will feel good. That said, despite the improvement under Mark Fellis, they've not been that good at home this season. Normally a difficult place to go, but they've actually only won two of their nine league games at the Giant Axe. So it's not been by any means a fortress for them. But yeah, I think Geisley's calendar and the fact that they've got that huge game on the horizon next weekend definitely gives Lancaster a better chance of causing an upset.
Now, we can have a debate about what the tie of the round is, but I'm going to suggest the most intriguing tie of the round, the one that everyone, all the non-league hipsters are going to be looking at going, that's very interesting. Basford United against Curzon Ashton. This is...
totally agree.
This is... But wow. how's this going to play out?
Well, I don't know, but I think, like you say, if you are nearby, and I think I read on the league's website yesterday that a lot of the senior professional teams in that neck of the woods are either not got a game or playing away tomorrow. So get down to Basford and have a little look at this game, because it could be an absolute classic. Look, we've talked a lot about how strong Basford have been at home this season, so won't dwell too much on that. They have won 8 straight games in the Northern Premier League at home, and they scored 30 goals in that run, so we know the threat, we know they feel good there. Again, Martin Carruthers, really good interview last week, picked up on the fact that Curzon Ashton are actually better on the road than they have been at the Thameside Stadium this season. I had a little look to just see how true that is, and he's quite right. There's only a couple of teams in National League North that have picked up more points than Curzon Ashton. One of them's Chorley at the top of the table season, and Bradford Park Avenue are on that list as well. They're having a really good season. So that puts into context how well Curzon Ashton have done. They've had a slight dip, no winning 5 league games. So does that make them slightly vulnerable? Basford also got the carrot of trying to get to the first round for the first time as well. A few teams we talked about today were trying to do that. I just think it's set up to be a great game. Basford's best chance to progress probably is tomorrow, despite Curzon Ashton's form on the road. So they'll be hoping to get it done tomorrow.
And there's 2 All-MPL ties. We'll get to Pickering Town and Ramsbottom United in a second. But Stalybridge Celtic against Workington. We obviously had John Walsh on from BBC Cumbria last week talking about Workington. Let's talk about Stalybridge Celtic now. And on Friday lunchtime, I caught up with the Tameside Reporter's very own. Here's Mark Phillip. So, Mark, a big thank you for joining us and welcome to the MPL show. First things first, I mean, I spoke to Simon Howarth in the past and a very, very impressive manager. And that's bearing fruit this season with some of Stalybridge's performances, it feels like.
Yeah, definitely. I've been massively impressed with Simon since he came in over summer. I think he's been realistic in his targets. You know, he does want promotion, but not at the cost of stability. And as you said then, I think his whole demeanour has been really impressive. So far this season, the 9th in the table, they're still in the FA Trophy. I think they're about halfway through the season now. So judging by that, you know, they could be on for a good thing this season.
I mean, at the moment, they're in this mid-table block of sides who I don't want to call them a blob or anything like that, but there's a good chunk of teams here who are all capable of putting a run together. The likes of Celtic, Buxton, Hensford Town, Hyde United, who are also in your patch, Whitby Town and even Grantham as well. So it's, like you say, it's halfway through the season, but it feels like anything above this now is a bonus considering previous years.
Yeah, I think you've got to be realistic. Like, looking back at the past 3 seasons, it has been pretty dismal at Bower Fold. They've gone through a fair few managers. You know, you had Liam Watson, Paul Phillips and Steve Halford, then, of course, Steve Burr last season. In my opinion, I thought Paul Phillips and Steve Halford were wrongly dismissed. I thought, given the time, they could have kept them up. But then again, that didn't happen. So you've just got to look forward now. And I think this season might just be the one for Celtic fans.
And obviously, as well, you talked about the previous management, the win against Buxton in the last round as well, does show the capability of Stalybridge Celtic. I think Berkey said the home match was definitely going to be a draw, regardless of what happened. It was always going to be a draw. Took it to a replay. And to beat Buxton at Silverlands, I think that goes to show you the capability Stalybridge have got this year.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think anyone saw Celtic get any result up at Silverlands, especially on a Tuesday night on an artificial pitch, but they managed to do it. They're showing the quality. I think Buxton will be there or thereabouts this season. Like we said a moment ago, they've got managers in charge who are very experienced in this league. They took Ashton United to the playoffs on 3 successive occasions. So, like I said, for Celtic to go up there, get a result in a cup competition and bring some money back to Bower Fold, it has been brilliant. And I'm sure that chairman, Bob Gorski, will be very happy with it.
And that means then this weekend you could park the league to one side and it's all about the FA Trophy. And we had John Walsh on last week from BBC Cumbria talking about the Workington side of things. An FA Trophy run this season would be welcome, to feel like. It's not necessarily a distraction for Stalybridge.
No, definitely. I think they'll relish the challenge this weekend, obviously. They were disappointingly beaten at Radcliffe in the FA Cup earlier in the season. So the FA Trophy, it does still present a chance to get to Wembley, to progress through further rounds, meet conference sides, and also pick up that prize money as well. And I think for progressing through the previous 2 rounds, they've collected something like £8,000. I think that'd be very much welcome.
And finally then, Mark, obviously you do lots of work for the Tameside Reporter, not just at Stalybridge, but all the Tameside clubs. You're going to be at Bowerfield tomorrow for this biggie against Workington. How can people keep abreast of what's going on and also the post-match stuff as well?
Well, you can follow our Twitter feed. That's News in Tameside. I'll also be tweeting from the game. I'll have to juggle it a bit, though, because I will be filming highlights as well. And then following the game, as I usually do, I'll be speaking to Simon and getting his thoughts. And then we'll be uploading that interview onto my Twitter page. That's Mark_P_reporter. And it'll also be going on the Tameside Reporter Facebook page.
Mark Phillip there, Tameside Reporter. Joining us talking about Stalybridge Celtic. I mean, it was interesting what John Walsh had to say last week about Workington. It's the injuries and the club needed to hold its nerve. It's a big game, this, isn't it, for the club?
It's a huge game, and obviously after Saturday's game, that would have been absolutely crushing to lose 4-1 at home to a Grantham side that is in absolute free fall at the moment, as we touched on the monthly show. So that the kind of hit to morale they will have taken by losing in like that at home does really worry me. What John said, as it always does, made complete sense and was logical, and it gave us some real context to try and understand what's happening at Workington this season. But it's really, really difficult off the back of that game to make a case for them knocking out Stalybridge tomorrow. No win in 10 league games at Workington. They've not won away from home this season in the league. They needed two cracks at Newcastle to knock them out, a lower-ranked team in the previous round. Probably their season highlight, though, has been in the FA Trophy, because, of course, they beat Scarborough, didn't they? So, that will help. I mean, Stalybridge aren't in great form either, to be fair. I mean, the only game that they've won in the past seven was one I was at when they turned Witten over, and that was a strange old game in that they could have been 3 or 4 nil down before they scored, and then actually did go on and play quite well. But in kind of a wider context, they've only won one of their past seven Northern Premier League games. And we touched a few weeks back on how well they've been playing at Bower Fold, which had enabled them to climb the table. Well, even that's disappeared slightly, not won any in the past four at home. So there's a few things that maybe will give Workington a glimmer of hope, but I just don't know what they're going to be able to produce off the back of such a disappointing result last weekend. And they have met in the league at Bower Fold, by the way, just to finish, and Stalybridge won 1-0. That probably wouldn't shock me if that was the score, actually, this weekend.
And finally, Pickering Town against Ramsbottom United. This tie's been long in the making. It's been coming over the hill for ages due to how many games, you know, that's been backdated and that kind of thing. But Ramsbottom United have made it through to the third qualifying round now, taking on Pickering Town. I think this is I don't think Pickering Town, a bit like Mask, have ever been in the FA Trophy.
That's right.
And certainly I don't think they've been this far in it, if they have. This is a big game, but Ramsbottom United they've kind of transformed themselves, hasn't they? We spoke about how Lancaster transformed with Mark Fell.
Chris Wilcock, a manager we know well, who's delivered success at a number of clubs at this level, knows his way around this level, knows good players, knows how to make teams really, really difficult to beat, and that's exactly what's happening at Ramsbottom right now. They're unbeaten in seven league games, won four in a row. They've been really good away from home this season. Only Abbott and Coles have scored more points away from home in that division, so that's how good Rami are on the road. They've had some really good wins to reach this stage. Well, knocked out Frickley, knocked out Trafford, who were having a good season earlier on in this run as well. So they go there feeling really good. But actually, Pickering are in the middle of the table in the East Division, but they're actually more recently in really good form. Four of the past five games they've won in all competitions. They've only lost one in the past six in the league. They've had some really good wins as well to get to this stage. Three wins, AFC Mansfield, Droylston and Stocksbridge, to get this far. It may not have kind of the glamour or the big names of some of the other games we've previewed today, but two teams absolutely banging form. It is set up to be a really good game there tomorrow.
Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, a job well done, my friend. That's that's why we've got you on. This is the showpiece weekend, and we've got the guy who can really put a spotlight on it. So a big thank you for coming
on
the show. Just one last plug for those people who can't make Leamington, Witten Albion tomorrow, how they can keep up to date, what's going on.
Yes, I'll be heading down to Leamington to see the game tomorrow. Hopefully see Witten reach the first round for the second time in the past 3 years. That'd be great. So northwestguardian.co.uk will have loads of preview stuff today and on tomorrow morning. And then obviously I'll be down there at the game, get updates at Simo_on_sport. And then there'll be loads tomorrow night, reaction, report, all the usual stuff after the game. Hopefully something positive to report on. If not, I still think there's going to be some Northern Premier League teams in the first round. I'm really confident.
And that, dear listener, is the end of this week's show. A big thank you to Andrew Simpson and all our guests this week for joining me on this week's NPL show. Remember, you can keep up to date with all the latest goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League by visiting the website evocitleague.co.uk. You can also follow this show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. But I've been Ben, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your EvoStick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.
Fantastic adhesive this sticks like from EvoStick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the EvoStick League this year?
The EvoStick League?
Yeah, EvoStick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You'd better put some sticks like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks like adhesive from EvoStick. Proud sponsors of the EvoStick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new EvoStick app.